Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Or at least that was the plan before coronavirus changed the world, and now we work from home, so I don't do weekly podcasts on Mondays. I do daily podcasts, and I do them not in my car, but in my living room, in my couch, on my walks around the neighborhood, getting my mail, just trying to be new normal, whatever that is, while we make sense of life in the time of corona. And this week's podcast, which is my last full week of school, there's a new episode every day. We're talking about what does it look like to go back. On Monday, we talked about big picture overview. And then we broke it down by like a color-coded stoplight. We actually have a bonus fourth color on our light. We started with the red on Tuesday. Never going back. Gonna be working from home. Gotta figure it out. What does distance learning need to look like? Yesterday, we talked about orange. Okay, well, let's go back for a little bit, but then plan to also be out. So like a little bit of a yo-yo pattern. Today we're talking about yellow, which is let's go back, but let's change the way that our school is currently set up so that maybe not all students are there at all times and what that could look like, some of those plans and some of those plays. And then tomorrow is talking about green means go. Let's go back as if this all was a bad dream. Of course, none of these things are 100% true, and all these things have moving pieces to them. As I've said two or three times this week on the podcast, they're not any good ideas. They're just a series of different degrees of bad ideas. But as an instructional coach, we try to focus on where the data is and focus on what the research is telling us and use that to make informed decisions, whether we're headed back today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. This is hard. So we're here to have those conversations. Today, though, before we get into that, if you like what you're hearing, you want to comment or leave a like or a subscription, that's awesome. Do that. The podcast is available on every place that you would find a podcast. Those are great and helps other people find the podcast as well. If you want to talk to me further, let's talk on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. I love teaching. I want to get better at it. So please, MeehanEDU. Tweet at me and we'll talk further. I don't pretend to be an expert. I just I do a lot of consulting and work and research and writing and meetings. Dear God, so many meetings. Not just with my own school, but with schools all over the country. So like, let's figure out the best way that makes sense for you and what makes sense for you as we do this stoplight to come back. And I have a website, which is www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. If you wanted to see templates, if you want to see resources, if you want to see links and things that you can use in your classrooms, do it, use it, change it, adapt it. I don't care. It's all there for sharing. Open source stuff, I think that's a great way to get people great resources. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. If that sounds like you, hey, cool, let's check it out. But I don't want to take your money. I want to figure out how we can get back to school and what back to school looks like safely. So today, let's talk about yellow in our stoplight. Red meant we're working from home 100%. That's bad because then we don't get to see our kids. But it's safe because people don't get exposed to a virus. Orange meant, okay, we're back in, which is good. Build those relationships, get that rapport, and then we have to leave a little bit. Not great, but at least we know what's coming, right? That's good. Except, oh man, virus sets the schedule. We don't. That's really, really hard. Today we're talking about the yellow, which is, okay, we're going to do this thing. We're going to be socially distanced and go back to our classrooms and go back to our buildings. And that's hard, but we're going to plan on doing a whole year, even if there are more outbreaks and there are more numbers. We're going to do our best to fight the spread, flatten the curve, and take reasonable precautions as necessary to keep our schools and our kids safe. And tomorrow we're talking about, just kidding, let's go back, and it's fine. You realize the foolhardy logic in all of these things. But maybe in the worst best case scenario, or the best worst case scenario, going back to school is kind of what we have to accept. Not because we want to. Of course we want to go back to our schools. Of course. I think everyone wants to go back to their schools. I'm actually maybe less inclined to want to go back because I am in a very privileged place. I'm in a place where kids have reliable internet access. And in a private school, we have a reasonable assurance that everyone who's in our building has access to one-to-one technology and homes that can support the type of demands we have for this distance learning. So I'm not feeling it nearly as much as some of my public school education friends. Some of my friends who are working in the public schools in Prince George's County, Maryland are like, our kids don't have internet at home. They're not getting meals. I don't have that I don't have that life. So I have incredible luxury to be able to say, from my place of privilege, if we had to do a year of distance learning, it's much easier for this hoity-toity private, you know, magnet, charter, elite, Catholic, or you know, homeschool, day school, whatever that thing is. That's not everybody's reality. So I want to honor that right here before I get started. And that said, I think everyone, even those teachers who are in those hoity-toity, like those la-di-da places, those ivory towers, we all want to get back. We want to see our kids. I'm okay with not seeing my kids because I'm able to get something done. And my kids are being pretty pliable because of the nature of what our school is set up to be. But all of us want to get back in the classrooms. So yeah, the yellow plan is the closest thing to, all right, we're back. It's not exactly the same, but it's close. We're back. In theory, that's good, right? We all wear masks. All right, so every day, everyone's wearing a mask. And they've said that if everyone, universal masks was a thing, if we do that on top of natural social distancing procedures, we may be able to curb the spread of this virus as much as 75%. I realize people are like, where do you get your facts from? Please just Google me, like fact check me. I do a podcast typically in my car. So I do a synthesis and I try to put links in as appropriate of all the things I'm learning and consuming from everywhere. But the number I have seen has been a universal mask would cut the spread as much as 75%. Do I know that that's true? No, I do not. Do I believe it because I saw it in three or four credible sources? Yes. Can you Google it? Sure. We have a lot of free time. Please do. I apologize again for not linking my sources in a digital format all the time here. But yeah, 75% spread is good, right? If we can cut that down, that means only one in four of the things that otherwise would have happened will happen. So if the infection rate was previously 15%, 15%, cut into quarters means that now only 4 or 5% of people are getting infected in an average school. I'm not saying that's a good number, but that's a better number than 15%, right? So if our hospitals are able to accommodate and the curve has been flattened enough such that this is our reality, with the reasonable precautions we take in a school of 1,000 human beings, over the course of a year, a 4% infection rate means that only 40 people in the building are then finding themselves infected as a result of exposure in a building. 40 people in a year is, over the course of 180 days, that's actually pretty good. We've often said as teachers, that first year of teaching, school's like a petri dish and you build up an immunity real quick because you're constantly exposed to kids and germs and doorknobs and papers and magic markers and hallways and banisters and lockers and water fountains and you get sick. It happens. Whether it's the flu or the crud or the just general fatigue and sickness, it happens. It's part of the teaching job. And if a school of 1,000 kids, only 40 people were sick in a whole year with any disease, whether that's like the flu or the common cold or a cough or a stomach bug, whatever it is, 40 I think is actually much, much lower than I think the average school is dealing with average absentee rates. I know that many schools have teacher absentee rates, just working with teachers and consulting and education and admin stuff. Sometimes as many as 10% or 15% of a faculty will miss a single day of school. That's not because they're rooting for it. It's just the nature of, oops, it's a Friday into a long weekend. What are you going to do? but in a faculty of 100 people, you might have 10 teachers out in a single day. Kind of crazy when you think about it, right? Staffing and sub work. That is years off of purgatory. Like, that's really hard for people to do. But taking this under advisement and saying, well, if it's only 4%, if 4% of a faculty was missing on a given day, I think a lot of schools would be very happy to have just 4% of their faculty out. So, okay, fine. Yellow has us at a spot where if it's only a 4% infection rate, we're all wearing our masks. That's good. However, we'd have to rejigger our classes considerably. Suddenly, our classes that have 32 desks or 40 plus desks, I mean, in my first school, I had 35 desks in my classroom. I had 42 students on my roster. I don't work in the public schools anymore, but that's where I came up. And I can tell you that every day I was low key as a first year teacher praying for a kid or two to be absent just so I had enough books because everything was shared in the classroom. And it's not because I didn't want to see the kids. It's just because I wanted to see the kids who were there have a meaningful assessment, meaningful work to get done. And I can't do that if I have people sitting on the heaters, right? Because we don't have enough desks for everybody. Or looking over one another's shoulders to, quote, borrow a book. That didn't work. So yeah, I'm thinking about all these things. And if we're doing a shift to social distance, now one out of every two spaces would have to be vacant. What does that look like? In our public schools, that means a lot of problems. Our public schools are already overcrowded. If we have 30 kids in an average classroom, you mean to tell me I'm going to fit 15 in there? First of all, I was only ever supposed to put 20 in the first place. What do you do with those extra human beings? Now, this naturally raises questions about, well, I guess we'd have to have some sort of swing schedule that some students would come in the morning, other ones would come in the afternoon, and then we can kind of clean the desks in the in-between. We know that's not going to happen. Like, when was the last time picked that hallway in that far-flung corner of your building was cleaned? Go ahead, I'll wait. How many people know that story of, like, that pencil that was thrown into the ceiling and has just been hanging there all year long? Or the chewing gum that was put on that wall? Or that kid's water bottle was set up in your classroom and it's just sort of there a week and a half later and you're like, whose Powerade is this? What's going on? Like, that's just life as a classroom teacher. We expect that our custodial staff, our janitorial staff, is able to do whatever they can do. But there are only one or two, three people, or five people, 10 people in a building, 30 people in a building. You're talking about a building that was messed up by 1,000 people. This is why we say when we go to dinner with our own families, hey, clear your plates, right? When you stand up, have you already eaten? Clean your own mess. Do we expect kids to stop their teaching, stop their learning, and clean their own mess? Because if so, our lunches have to be that much shorter. Now we're talking about things like, how do we do lunches in a cafeteria? Maybe we can't do it in a cafeteria. Maybe we have to eat in the classrooms. And if we're eating in the classrooms, again, I don't mean to be an alarmist. I'm just trying to talk about practical considerations. In my first school, we had issues with bugs and rodents because when we were in the school and kids were eating in the classroom, all their hands and all their crumbs were over all those sorts of things and leaving food products in places that were not designed for food to be eaten and consumed. Like even throwing out food waste in a class trash bin that doesn't get emptied as regularly as a cafeteria trash can, right? Now you have food sediment and sugar sediment and all that stuff is in there. And then we go away. You think there's not cockroaches? You think there's not rats? I mean, like, that's a real thing. And we're all saying, well, quote, do the best we can. Talk about pandemics, talk about spreading diseases. A mindfulness of a classroom that is not sanitary is a breeding ground for all sorts of stuff. And that's not just COVID. Now, on top of that, we're talking about how do we do our gym classes? How do we do our cafeteria? How do we do our dances, our proms, our extracurriculars, our sports? Even if we come back in universal masks, we have to face the very real possibility in this yellow stripe or strata that most of those things would not happen. A music class, typical music class. A kid is playing in the woodwind section, the brass section, and has to empty their spit valve out and drop the spit right on the floor. That's just what every music class has done in the history of ever. A reed breaks and they need another one. They lean to the friend next to them. Hey, can I borrow a pencil? Can I borrow a reed? Can I borrow a piece of paper? Can I borrow a notebook? Can I look at your cell phone? That touching, that cross-contamination of germs, even if you put people 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet away from each other, you're talking about like an entire behavioral training. That gets easier when you deal with older students who only want to, you know, give hugs and selfies and cell phones. Much, much harder when you're with younger students who just touch everything. They're touching their faces. They're touching their noses. They're touching everything in the bathroom. They're probably not washing their hands regularly enough or well enough. And if they are in the bathrooms, they're not washing them properly. Talk about the soap dispensers. Students over how many schools I go to always say, the soap in the bathroom, it never works. Or, the hand sanitizer never works. Or, the hand towels don't come out. Or, the doors are just as nasty. What does this look like, right? We could put them in the building, but if that infection rate is even 4% with our masks on, are we keeping the masks on all day long? Are students freaking out, needing a moment to breathe, needing a moment to take those off? Are they eating with friends? Are they playing with friends? Are they sharing time with friends? Are they touching friends? Are they giving hugs and play wrestling and fighting and just what kids do? And then do we expect all those other things that are school related, like discipline issues, to go away magically with COVID? Well, I don't think so, right? So if you're dealing with stuff like uniform violations or dress code violations, now you're dealing with mask violations. And we have to talk about all of this stuff on top of, oh, and by the way, kids are only coming in one out of every 2 days because we do a deep clean of the building between stuff. Who's paying for all that? And I'm not trying to dwell on the bad. I'm not trying to say that we cannot and should not think about how to be solution oriented. But Albert Einstein famously says, and I say it a lot, if you gave me an hour to think about how to solve a problem, I would spend 59 minutes focusing on the problem and 1 minute on the solution. Because we have to see all the different ways and the places that this can fall apart and fall down. And unfortunately, these are the things that lawmakers often don't take into consideration because they just want to see kids back in the classrooms. And again, most of us want to see that, right? We want to see our kids back in the classrooms. We want to get face-to-face time back in it. But simply saying, well, half the kids will come in the morning and half the kids will come in the afternoon. Okay, who babysits those kids in the afternoons if they're a morning class? Or what are parents supposed to do to rearrange their schedules? Do we just have a holding bin where 1,000 kids, 500 are allowed to come in one place and the other 500 just hang out together until they're allowed to go to classes? That's a bad idea. You're talking about weather. If you're talking about places that are safe, we can say, well, it's nice weather. They can kind of hang out in the courtyard. That's fine, but they can't touch each other. They can't touch, you know, like talk with one another. They can't share any supplies or activities. And the teachers are still the common vector. We see them in the morning. We see a new group of students in the afternoon, or we see the A group students or the B group students. You know, what can that look like? And so does that mean that teachers have to get tested 2 or 3 times a week? Do they have to do things like contact testing, or do they have to do things like self-quarantine if they've been exposed to a student first thing in the morning? Because that means that student in the afternoon is touching the same things and being in that same space with that teacher. Every handout, every electronic device, even simple acts of like cleaning things up. Where does the money come from for all of these wipe downs, for all of these magical sanitary things that are we're expected to have it done in 5 minutes. I mean, if you use one of those Clorox wipes, after 2 feet of wiping, there's no juice left in that thing. I'm supposed to do every desk in my classroom. I have to move through 20 different Clorox wipes between every class. Am I supposed to just have them hanging out in the hallway in the meantime while I deep clean the classroom? Or am I supposed to ask them before they leave to deep sink clean their own materials? Because they're kids and they can't. And they're not certified to do that. So I know it seems like I'm piling it on, but like the more I talk about this as we get closer to the end of the week, red was bad because we didn't want to be locked in a perpetual state of teach from home for forever. Orange was bad because while it's nice to plan a few days in and a few days out, COVID makes the plans, we don't make the plans. Yellow makes me increasingly nervous, and as that threat level gets lesser, my nerves get worse because this yellow level seems to suggest, hey, kids, are going to be kids. Schools are going to be schools. And there's a lot of things that we are beyond our control that we would be lying to ourselves if we say we could control them as we send them back in. And then tomorrow we talk about the green level. It's all a dream. Look, that's amazing if there's a vaccine and that there's universal testing. If there's not, I just shudder to think. Because even if 40 kids in a building get sick in a year, as so much as 1 out of 10 of those kids finds themselves on a respirator, or 1 out of 10 of those individuals is an adult with an existing immunocompromisation. Like, you're talking about distractions that are permanent distractions. And in a year, if students lose school time to COVID, now imagine losing loved ones to the same thing. Suddenly it's like, whoa, I don't know, man. So I don't mean to be a downer. I don't mean to be an alarmist. And I try to be as positive and upbeat as I can in this podcast and in my work as a coach. I just want to talk about all the angles that this is still happening from, because the worst thing we can do is rush back and do this wrong. So interested to hear your thoughts. And like I said, maybe I have more questions than answers, but hopefully if we look at all of the questions, we'll do this the right way for the greatest number of people. I don't pretend to have all of them, but it's important to talk about those answers and get those right people in the room. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll get back into the crazy dream version of, just kidding, we'll get back to school and see what that looks like. In the meantime, hit me up on Twitter and I'll see you next time. Thanks again.